Saturday is the anniversary of a day that changed forever our understanding of the destructive nature of warfare, ushering in the age of anxiety when mankind came face to face with its capacity to destroy itself. An estimated 70,000 to 80,000 people were killed on August 6, 1945, when the first of two atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. In an increasingly tense world, the nuclear threat is never far away, and Shom Evans Pym, director of the Center for Global Non-Killing, will speak on preventing nuclear war from a non-killing perspective at the Lahaina Jodo Mission on Sunday. He's on the line with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've obviously lived with the nuclear threat ever since then. That's when it was brought home to the world just exactly how destructive this was, and we've only learned more about the destructive capacity of nuclear weapons since. We also live in a world that is just filled with them, don't we?
We do. And, of course, much of the killing that happens all around the world is not directly linked with that weapon. But I think there's an underlying commonality on the legitimacy that our societies, our governments, our culture gives to killing, to lethality, and all the systems, including defense, which is built around that.
As you say, our culture has made the killing of other human beings legitimate, and all cultures do, don't they, to one degree or another?
Well, I mean, some anthropologists would probably argue on that, on if killing is really part of human nature, or rather, as the World Health Organization, for example, has claimed, is rather a preventable disease. And probably one of the interesting things, when we look at nuclear weapons from a non-killing perspective, is also the creative element of a project like the Manhattan Project, and the amount of resources that went into creating something that had been inconceivable at the time. And I think one of the reflections that we need to make at this stage is the need, the urgent need to consider a similar project to overcome lethality, which is one of the major issues which is affecting all spheres of life in our global society.
Shom, wasn't some of the, at least a lot of the research that led to the development of the nuclear bomb, research that was simply looking for a new form of energy that could have been used for good or ill?
Indeed, and in fact, some of the scientists from physics, mathematics, and other fields that were engaged with the Manhattan Project actually withdraw their support during or just after the result. I mean, this we give, you know, we take nuclear weapons for granted now, but again, at that stage, in the 40s, when the Los Alamos laboratory was initiated, it was unimaginable. And I think it's that kind of mobilization of you know, human resources, creativity, talent from all fields, which we now need to refocus from our conventional, you know, cultural bias towards legitimacy of violence, toward finding alternatives. And it's no minor quest, and it's something that several organizations throughout the world are working on, and here in the Center for Global Non-Killing in Hawaii, we're also trying to contribute to that.
Well, Shom, when did Einstein write his letter about what was being unleashed with nuclear energy? I'm trying to recall. Didn't he write a letter to Roosevelt about this very thing?
Well, Einstein has several writings on the issue. The one of the most famous is probably the Einstein-Russell Manifesto, where he, together with and it's also related to the Pugwash science and peace conferences that really challenged the destructive power that had been unleashed and tried to establish limitations to that use. And unfortunately, those calls were not listened to at the time, and the development that, and proliferation that came in the decades that followed, including the diversion of such huge amount of resources from life enhancing policies to the development of this kind of weapons, not only in the U.S. but also in other powers at the moment, really have an impact on so much time and still today.
But the point of those messages was, as I understand it, that it's energy. It's using it for destructive purposes is a choice that is not, as you say, is a preventable choice.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, I think this is not to question peaceful uses of science. And indeed, if we look back at the same period and there's so many applications that the nuclear physics has in life-enhancing aspects of life, such as medicine and other fields, it's really important. And we could also think of what kind of differences would we have been if the focus on the use of such technologies had been placed mostly on life-enhancing aspects, such as in health and especially in cancer and certain diseases that were in its infancy at the time the Manhattan Project started. And if we compare, they're still in many aspects, sadly, still in its infancy. And one of the measures for that is, for example, the amount of resources globally that are put into military spending, which is in global terms five times more than is applied to health research, for example. So I think a lot of change still has to happen in that field.
No one would disagree with that, Shom. Thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Our pleasure.
Shom Evans-Pym is the director of the Center for Global Non-Killing. He will speak at the Lahaina Jodo Mission on Sunday at 5 p.m. on preventing nuclear war from a non-killing perspective. It's sponsored by the Hiroshima-Nagasaki Commemoration Committee and Maui Peace Action.